Ladies and gentlemen, Life with a Lion. With the high cost of living today, it's a lucky woman that has a husband who can build a shelf, paper a wall, wire a lamp, or take care of the plumbing. And Bibi is one of these fortunate women. Her daughter has a husband who can do all those things. But let's drop in on the man who claims to be the top handyman in the neighborhood and find out why Ben has such an exalted opinion of himself.
Well, I don't like to brag, but I can fix anything around the house. Last Tuesday, I even overhauled our old grandfather clock, and I wish you could hear how beautifully it sounds now.
Why, it's 2 o'clock. It's absolutely correct.
You should have been here a minute ago when it struck 14 o'clock.
Oh, now, Robin, stop making things up. Your father can fix things like no other man in the world can. Can't he, Richard?
You said it, Ma.
Well, thanks. It's nice to be appreciated for a change.
Hello, family.
Hi, Barbara.
Guess what Russell's done to our living room?
Tell us, darling.
He built an alcove with 6 shelves so I can stand all our wedding presents on it.
Oh, how wonderful.
And he did it just for me. He said all the time he was working on it, he kept thinking how my face would look when he finished sandpapering it.
Well, I can't see any improvement.
You be still.
Ben, you promised Bill me an alcove to put my wedding presents on.
I will, honey. Now, don't rush me.
Go ahead, Pop. You haven't done anything to the house for a long time.
Oh, no? Who went up on the roof to mend that big hole?
And who slipped and fell through it?
Same bloke.
Now, you keep out of this. And who built the water pipes in the wall so they wouldn't freeze up this winter?
Mr. Wimple.
Yes, but it was my idea. Now, suppose we change the subject.
You're just saying that so you won't have to talk about my alcove.
Now, look, honey, be reasonable. If I start tearing down the living room wall, the noise will drive Mr. Carpentig crazy. I couldn't do that to a good neighbor, otherwise I'd be very happy to build it.
Oh, then you'll be tickled pink, because he's going to Devon for 2 weeks.
And he's leaving this afternoon.
Oh, don't look so sad. He'll be back before you know it.
Aggie, don't tell me that you and Mr. Cobblethick are...
I don't see anything to laugh at. He's a very nice man.
He certainly is. Aggie, how did it all start?
Well, I think it was his gentlemanly manner that attracted me the day he moved next door. It was the way he knocked on the kitchen door, raised his hat politely in his gloved hand, and said in his sweet low voice... Do you mind if I drop this fish head in your dustbin?
Oh, well, that certainly was a romantic beginning.
Aye, so I told him he could come and put his head in our dustbin any time he liked.
Well, well, imagine our Aggie falling for old fish head. I mean, Cobblethick.
He's not the least bit old, and he's very attentive.
Yes, and I bet he wouldn't keep his wife waiting 26 years for an alcove.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Bibi, if it means that much to you, I'll build you one.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Mr. Lyon, when are you going to start all this building?
Well, that all depends. You see, I'll need a crosscut saw, a cold chisel, club hammer, crowbar, wheelbarrow, and a lot of other odds and ends, and it takes a lot of time to get all those things together.
Oh, well, Russell has all those things, and he'll gladly lend them to you.
Why don't I keep my big mouth shut?
It's about time we borrowed something from Barbara for a change.
Well, since you're so pleased, you can go over with me and help me carry all the tools.
Why don't I keep my big mouth shut?
Well, let's go, boys. We've got a lot of work to do. Oh, I think Russell gave us every tool in his workshop.
He sure did.
Come on, you two. Take them in the living room.
Well, give us a minute to catch our breath.
Oh, yeah. This stuff weighs a ton.
Honestly, you two act like a couple of old men. Look how fresh I am.
Sure, but you're not carrying anything.
Well, somebody has to open the doors. Now get moving.
We're coming, Daddy.
I'll answer that. Hello, Mr. Cobblethick.
Hello, Agatha, my dear. I thought you promised to call me Robert, my dear.
Oh, I'm sorry, Robert, my dear. And I'm sorry you have to be away for so long.
Oh, but I must take care of business.
Aye, you must.
Before I go, Agatha, I'd like to ask you something personal.
Yes, Robert?
Well, I've never said this to anyone before, but, well, you see, I live all alone, and I'd like to ask you to... Would you...
Yes, Robert?
Will you keep the keys of my house till I get back?
Robert.
Oh, that'd be proper handsome of you, my dear.
Oh, I like doing things for you. You know what? I'm going to bake you half a pound of Dundee cake to eat in the journey.
Oh, lovely. If you do that, Agatha, I'll give you a little kiss.
Hmm. What would you do if I baked a pound of cake?
I'd give you a big kiss and a cuddle.
Oh, in that case, I'll bake 2 pounds.
Oh, but Agatha, I don't know you well enough for 2 pounds of cake.
You're a shy one.
Oh, that I be. No, I'd better be off. My train leaves in 2 hours.
Then I must hurry and bake that cake.
Bye for now, my booty.
Oh, Aggie,
I... Oh, what a lovely man. He's almost good enough to be a Scotsman.
Well, maybe he is, but you better tell him not get the cement all over the living room.
Oh, you mean your husband. I'll see to that. Oh, Mr. Lyon.
Yes, Aggie?
If you don't mind my saying so, you should put sheets over the furniture and roll the carpet back, if you don't mind my saying so.
And if you don't mind my saying so, I do mind your saying so, if you don't mind my saying so.
Oh, very well. But don't let any of that dust float into my kitchen.
Daddy, where are you going to put the alcove?
Well, I haven't decided yet. I must choose just the right section so we won't hit any of the water pipes Wimple put in the walls.
Then let's knock the wall out over here.
For your information, that happens to be exactly where the pipes are. No, I'm going to put the alcove right over here.
Pop, take my advice.
I've taken your advice long enough, young man. Robin, hand me that large chisel.
All right, Daddy.
Pop, listen to me.
No, no, I don't intend to let you make a fool of me again. This time I'm going to do it myself.
Hey, wait a minute, Daddy. I remember where Mr. Wimple put the pipes.
All right, where?
Well, if you hit the wall where you're aiming, go find out.
Come over here, Pop.
Very well. But you, smart Alex, had better be right.
We are. Now, just aim for that little smudge mark on the wallpaper.
All right. Now, stand back, boys. Give me plenty of room. Just one hard blow with this hammer, and I'll make a hole in this wall the size of your head. Here we go.
Well, you made a hole in the wallpaper. Now make a hole in the wall.
You can laugh, but these old walls are very hard to penetrate.
Well, they're not very old, are they?
Well, our house is early Victorian, but these outside walls are Elizabethan. So that should make them, let's see, about 500 years old.
Gosh, you must have been just a kid then, Pop.
Oh, don't be silly. He was only a little baby.
Now, suppose you cut the comedy and get to work. Here's a chisel and a hammer.
Okay. Watch this, Pop. One, two...
Three. You nitwit, you hit the water pipe.
Oh, no.
Gosh, this is awful. If you don't stop it, it'll flood the place. Oh, Daddy, please don't just stand there. Say something.
Help. Help.
Hello, Mrs. L. I rushed over as soon as I got your message. Is everything flooded?
No, no. Aggie turned off the main tap. Now, there's only a little drip left.
Well, you should make him mop up the floor.
Don't worry, he did.
Good. I say, where is the alcove architect?
He's in the living room with the boys.
Oh, well, I'll have a natter with the experts while I mend the water pipe. Oh,
all right, but he's very touchy about his skill as a handyman today, so give him a little encouragement. And please don't say I asked you to fix the pipe.
I understand. I promise I won't mention the name of the instigator.
Oh, fine. And don't mention my name either.
Oh, wouldn't think of that. No, I won't. Hello, Mr. L.
Hello, Wimpy.
I thought I'd just drop in and see you for no reason at all.
Well, that was... What?
I'm sure glad you're here. Pop's got a problem.
I know. I've just been talking to her.
He means Daddy's trying to fix the water pipe, and he needs your advice.
I don't need anyone's advice.
Of course you don't. A man of your ability already knows that pipe needs soldering.
Soldering, huh? Oh, yeah, yes, yes, of course it does, yes. Richard, get the blow lamp. I'm going to do a little soldering.
Okay, Pop.
Well, it's lucky you're able to fix it, Mr. L. It's a shocking thing to be without water.
Oh, I know. I remember the time our boiler broke down and Bibi had to boil a kettle of water so I could shave.
Well, that's exactly how it was when our boiler broke down.
It was?
Yes. I had to boil a kettle of water so Wilhelmina could shave.
You old cough drop. Say, Richard, where's that blow lamp?
Oh, you don't need it. I soldered the pipe.
Well, why did you do it?
Well, you were talking and I didn't want to butt in. Well,
that's a novelty. Robin, hand me the chisel. I want to deepen this alcove.
Mr. Hill, if you make that hole any deeper, you'll weaken the wall.
Don't be silly. I can safely take out another 2 feet. I intend to have the biggest alcove in the neighborhood.
I can believe that. You've already got the biggest bay window.
Yes. You're just jealous. Robin, you'd better give me that large chisel for this.
But Mr. Wimple says you shouldn't do it.
When I want Mr. Wimple's advice, I'll ask for it.
Oh, very well. Do it your own way. And I'll leave you to stew in your own bricks and mortar. Toodaloo.
Toodaloo, you old busybody. Silly old codger. Now, Richard, hold that torch up while I crawl through this hole.
All right.
Now, I think I'll pull these bricks out.
Ouch! Pop, you bumped your head.
I know I bumped it, you silly nitwit. And I'm going to have a nice bump to prove it. Now, just shine that torch over my shoulder so it doesn't happen again. And say, there's something on the ledge at the back of the wall.
Well, what is it?
I can't see. Something's blocking the light.
Well, wait a minute. How's that?
Oh, fine. There's much more light now. What did you do?
I folded Richard's ears back.
He did not. I held the torch up higher.
Well, keep shining it while I see what this is. Holy smoke. Look what I found.
Let's
what
see.
Is it? Oh, gosh. Coins. Copper and silver coins.
And look at this old brown jug. I'll bet it's very valuable.
It just looks like an old piece of pottery to me.
That's just it. In Elizabethan days, people used to hide valuable pottery in the walls.
I don't know anything about pottery, but I'm sure that's a real silver band in the middle.
Oh, boy. Wait till I tell Muffy.
No, you're not to tell anyone until we've had these things valued. Now, come on. We'll take these things to an antique shop.
Hey, Pop, here's the shop. Let's go inside.
Fine.
Boy, what a lot of junk.
Why, you impertinent young illiterate. How dare you refer to these priceless objets d'art as old junk?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, sir. I'm afraid my son is a bit young to appreciate the finer things.
But you do. I see you're admiring my porcelain.
Oh, they're very lovely, but...
But you want to see the best. Well, here's a beautiful Ming.
You mean that's what they make women's Ming coats out of?
Is he actually that stupid?
Yes. Now, sir... I'd appreciate it.
Yes, anyone with taste would. They'd also realize that this magnificent porcelain would add to their prestige. Nobody can be a somebody without a Ming.
No, you don't mean a thing if you ain't got that Ming.
Richard. Sir, I didn't come in to buy anything. I merely want to get a valuation.
Well, you might have told me in the first place. I'm much too busy to waste my time giving valuations.
Oh, but this won't take you but a moment, and we'd be most grateful for your expert advice.
Oh, very well.
Thank you. I'd like you to look at some old coins first. I believe they're Elizabethan.
Please, I will be the judge of that. Where are they?
Here's one, sir.
Let me have a look through my magnifying glass. This is definitely an Elizabethan penny, but there's a strange marking in the corner. Looks like a huge fingernail. Oh! Young man, for heaven's sake, let go of that coin. I'm not going to steal it.
Well, no, but I...
Richard, put all those coins on the counter.
All right. All right.
Let me see.
Does that mean they're valuable?
No, they're quite common. I think the value of this collection would be in the neighborhood of 10 shillings.
That's a very disappointing neighborhood.
That'll be 1 guinea, please.
What for?
My valuation fee.
Valuation fee? It only took you a minute.
Well, I'm not paid for the minute. I'm paid for what I know.
I wish I had your job.
Well, if you did, you'd starve to death. Now, is that all, I hope?
No. Daddy wants you to look at this jug.
Oh, very well. Put it under this light.
Here you are, sir.
Yes, rough brown pottery, silver top, silver band round the center. Why, I do believe. Oh, no, it can't be. Yes, it is. It's... Oh, I don't believe it.
Well, make up your mind or I'll take it to animal, mineral, or vegetable.
Now, wait. Where's the hallmark? Ah, here it is. Yes, there it is. The leopard's head with a crown on it. The lion and the letter A. Good heavens, it really is. It's an old tiger jug. It's a very rare Elizabethan jug. I should put it between 1400 and 1500.
Well, that's funny. I thought Elizabeth wasn't born until 1533.
What's that got to do with it?
Nothing, only I thought it should be a little more.
Well, I dare say you could get £1,600 for it.
What? Pounds? Daddy, your mouth's open.
I know. I open it.
Strangely enough, few people know the true value of these jugs. Only the other day a collector bought one for £40.
Well, it's a good thing I knew what it was worth.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'll give you £1,500 for it.
I'd like to take it home first and think it over.
Pop, don't be a sucker.
I know what I'm doing.
Well, if you decide to sell it, drop back in the morning and I'll have the money for you.
Thank you.
Oh, Mother, where did Daddy and the boys go?
I don't know, but I intend to find out when they get back. You know, your father's been acting very strangely.
Well, I haven't noticed it.
Oh, Mrs. Lyon, Mr. Cobbledick is back. Where did your husband put the keys to his house?
Oh, I saw Daddy put them in his desk.
Good, I'll get them.
Now, wait a minute, Aggie. I thought Mr. Cobbledick had gone to Devon.
He did, Mrs. Wainwright, but he had to return for some important papers. Oh, Mrs. Lyon, he was very pleased that your husband had been keeping an eye on his house. Mrs. Lyon, you aren't listening.
I'm sorry, Aggie. I was thinking about my husband.
Why? What's the matter with him?
I don't like the way he's acting.
Neither do several million other people.
Well, I'd better away and get the keys.
Florrie, that wasn't a very nice thing you said about Ben.
Oh, darling, I was only trying to cheer you up. It's so silly for you to worry. Oh,
yes, Mother. I don't know what's the matter with you.
Well, maybe I am making a mouse trap out of moleskins. But, you know, I can't help feeling that something's going on that I should know about.
We're in the money. We're in the money.
Hey, what's that all in aid of?
It's a secret. We'll tell you later, sister dear.
Well, I must say you all sound very happy.
Well, why shouldn't we? We spent a very profitable afternoon.
What do you mean, profitable?
Oh, you'll find out. From now on, it's going to be pretty dresses for the women and cigars for the men. Have a cigar, Florrie.
Well, bless your little overloaded legs.
Florrie, that's very funny.
Ben, do you feel all right?
I've never felt better. Right, boys?
Oh, right. Except for that little bump where you hit your head.
Well, bumps on the head can be very dangerous.
Yes, dear. You should take some penicillin.
Oh, to heck with the expense. Tomorrow I'll be able to afford tuppenicillin.
Dear, after that joke, you need a corn plaster.
Florrie, I never knew you had such a sense of humor. You kill me.
Optimist.
You know, you're not only witty, but you're a wonderful person. I'm really very fond of you.
Oh, you better watch him, Bebe. The next thing you know, he'll be serenading me under my balcony with a guitar.
You underestimate yourself. There's enough room under your balcony for a grand piano.
Oh! Ben, you stop that and listen to me.
All right, dear.
Are you going to tell us what's going on or aren't you?
I aren't.
Then the boys will have to tell us.
Sorry, girl. Our lips are sealed.
That's telling her. Now, come on in the living room, boys. I have something I'd like to turn over with you.
Oh, that's a good one, Pop. Come on, Robin.
Aren't men infuriating?
I'll answer it. Oh, hello, Robert.
Agatha, my dear, something terrible's happened.
What's wrong, Mr. Cobbledick?
My house has been burgled.
What? Oh, no. What did they take?
Some things my grandmother gave me.
How terrible.
Yes, and it's very strange. You see, they were in a cabinet that's built into the wall, but the cabinet was still locked.
And we had all your keys. Any of us?
Oh, perish the thought, my dear. But the fact remains that they've taken all my old coins and my brown pottery tiger jug.
Oh, the brutes.
But I'm glad they didn't take my lovely silver horse. I won it at the country fair for showing my prize horse. Mm,
and I suppose you won the tiger jug for showing your prize tiger.
Pardon?
Oh, Mr. Cobbledick, I'm afraid Mother's a little vague.
Oh, I know she is, my dear. She probably thinks I won the pottery for showing my... No, perhaps not.
What do you intend to do, Robert, my dear?
Well, I'm going straight to the police, Agatha. That tiger jug is so unusual, they're sure to track down the rotten thieves.
I've looked under all the bricks, Pop, but there doesn't seem to be anything else but this silver horse.
Well, we can't complain.
I wonder what the RC51A1 on the horse stands for.
It's a hallmark of some kind.
Aren't there any more hollow walls we can search?
I don't know, son, but it gives me an idea. I think I'll go over to the borough surveyor. If they have the old plans of this house, we'll soon find out if there are any more hollow spaces in the walls.
Well, I'll come with you, Pop.
And me.
All right. I've never seen you boys so excited about anything.
Well, this is the best fun we've had since the night you fell down the coal hole.
Well, when are you going to tell Ma?
Tomorrow morning, when I come home from the antique shop with 1,500 pounds in me hand.
Then we better hide the jug and these coins so Ma won't see them.
Yes, put them in the music stool.
Okay.
I put the silver horse in the china cabinet. Is that all right?
Yes, that'll be fine.
Oh, Ben! Ben, dear, would you put the electric fire on? We're going to have our tea in here.
Well, why don't you have it in the dining room?
Because this room is warmer. And Florrie has a slight chill, and I think that she should go somewhere where it's nice and hot.
Yes, and the sooner the better.
Oh, Mother, will you take those things off the coffee table so I can put the tea tray down?
All right, dear.
Look, I made you all some hot buttered scones for tea.
Well, that's a shame. We won't be in.
Oh, dear. Now, who's going to eat all of them?
Well, why don't you send them to that soldier you're always writing a letter to?
Well, don't send him mine. I'll have it when I come back.
Back from where?
From where I'm going. Come on, boys. Bye-bye, honey.
There's something very funny going on around here.
I'm beginning to think you're right, Mother.
Oh, Bibi, I brought some chocolate biscuits over from my house.
Oh, thanks, dear. I'll get a plate out of the china cabinet and put them on. Oh,
sugar, Aunt Florrie?
Two, please. Bibi, what are you doing?
Looking at this little silver horse. I've never seen it before.
Oh, I know what you're thinking, Aunt Florrie. But there are thousands of silver horses in the world.
With the date of the horse show and Mr. Cobbledick's initials on it?
I don't care what it says. My husband's an honest man. I admit he had the opportunity and the keys, and my husband's in a tough spot.
Well, it may be my imagination, but I could swear I saw Ben taking sidelong glances at this piano stool. Maybe he put something in it. Look, he did!
Oh, no! Mr. Cobbledick's tiger jug and coins. What are we going to do?
Oh, there's only one thing to do. I'll have to use my brain.
Oh, Mother, how brave you are to make jokes at a time like this.
Well, there won't be much to laugh at when your father does get home.
Why isn't Ben home? Why isn't he home?
Bibi, please calm down.
Oh, how can I calm down when at this very moment my husband may be holding up a bank? But my poor little boy's his lookout men.
Oh, Mother, darling, this isn't doing any good.
I can't help it. I was a happy woman until this afternoon, and everything's changed, and my husband is practically wearing arrows.
Now, cheer up, Bibi. We'll get him out of this mess yet. Then nothing will be changed.
Yes, it will. People will point at me and say, that poor woman is married to that horrible Ben Lyon.
That's what I said. Nothing will be changed.
Is your father back yet?
No, Aggie.
Well, when he arrives, I'll make some more tea for him. Do you think he would like some cake?
Not unless it has a file in it.
I'm afraid I don't get that joke. Oh, incidentally, Mr. Cobbledick said an antique dealer knows who the thief is. Now, be sure to call me when your husband comes back.
If he ever gets back.
You know, for all his faults, Bibi, I still can't believe that Ben is a thief.
No, and why should he turn dishonest so suddenly? Unless that bump on his head. Oh, yes, that's it.
Oh, I think you're right. Bibi, in that case, he can't help himself. In fact, he doesn't even know he's stealing.
Oh, my poor husband. How can they arrest a man like that?
Wait, I have a plan. we'll tell the judge he'll have to treat us in exactly the same way he treats Ben. That'll prove that morally he's no more guilty than we are.
Oh, you're right. If they send him to jail, we'll all insist on being sent to jail.
Here, here. I'll gladly go to Wormwood Scrubs.
But, Florrie, darling, Wormwood Scrubs is a man's prison.
You choose your prison and I'll choose mine.
Well, let's hope it never comes to that.
No.
What we have to decide now is how to cure Daddy.
Well, I once knew of a man who had the same affliction. He'd only steal things that were shiny, even if they had absolutely no value.
Oh, what happened to this man?
Well, his family cured him with cytology. They quietly reasoned with him, you know, like a child. They kept telling him he was wrong to steal. Mm-hmm. And finally, he didn't steal anymore.
Then that's what we'll do with Ben.
Oh, baby, we're home.
Oh, thank goodness.
Now, remember, Aunt Florrie, be exceptionally nice to him.
Of course.
Hi.
Oh, hello. Hello, dear.
Oh, Ma, is there any tea left?
Oh, yeah, of course, dear.
Oh, boy, chocolate biscuits.
Oh, well, those belong to Aunt Florrie.
Well, I'm going to pinch one.
Ben, dear, you can have one. You never have to pinch anything I've got.
Well, that's good news.
Hey, have we missed our favorite program?
Boys, take your tea in the kitchen and listen to it in there.
You see that big lump on Ben's head, Florrie? Yes, nasty, isn't it?
What are you muttering about, Florrie?
I was just looking at your great big bump.
That's funny, I was looking at yours.
Darling, sweetheart, did it give you a nasty headache?
It did, until I took something.
You're not to take anything, Ben. It's naughty. Do you understand?
Florrie, what's the matter with you? I mean, besides the things we already know about.
Oh, nothing's wrong with Aunt Florrie. Oh, by the way, Daddy, where did you get that little silver horse?
I should have known. It's a fine thing when a man can't leave his house for 5 minutes without his wife, daughter, and a busybody neighbor snooping around.
Now, Ben, don't get excited, dear.
No.
And I suppose you know where I got it.
Yes, and we want you to put it back.
What? If I put this stuff back, I should have my head examined.
Ah, now we're getting someplace.
I think I'll go and call up a psychiatrist right away.
Yes, you do that. He'll find enough work around here to fill 3 couches.
A policeman's come to see you with Mr. Cobbledick.
Come along, Constable Johnson.
Mrs. Lyon, this is a job I don't like doing.
But look, Constable, he's got my tiger jug and my silver horse. These are mine.
Is this true, Mrs. Lyon?
No, but it's not his fault that he stole them.
Phoebe, what are you trying to do to me?
Now, come along, sir. I advise you not to make any trouble.
How long are you going to keep my father behind bars?
Until he tells the truth.
I've told you 100 times I got those things out of a hole in the wall.
Yes, yes, and I'm Napoleon. Now, sir, are you ready to confess?
Well, what's up, Pop? What are you doing in here?
Don't you know, dear?
Well, yes, but how can they arrest a man for making a hole in his own wall?
What was that?
Well, sure. How do we know we were cutting through our wall into Mr. Cobbledick's house?
Well, that's true, sir. Richard just showed me how it happened. End of all the funny jokes.
Well, I'm glad somebody thinks it's funny.
Oh, darling, so they're not going to take you away after all?
Never mind, Bibi dear. Better luck next time.
That was Life of the Lions, with B.B. Downs and Ben Lyon, with their children, Barbara and Richard. Also in this recording were Doris Rogers, Molly Weir, Horace Percival, Bob Block, Richard Belairs, and Hugh Morton. The script was by Bob Block, Ronnie Hambray, and B.B. Daniels. The incidental music was by Paul Fennelly, who also conducted the BBC Variety Orchestra. Production by Tom Ronald.